The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. To call in live, dial anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free at 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Attorney William J. Wolfe.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is William Wolfe. I'm your host today. It's March 3, 2024. And we're now well within the 21st year broadcast, the longest running brokerage show in the history of the state of Arizona. And I thank you for your support and assistance in bringing the show to the air by you supporting my advertisers. Have a great show for you today, as usual. I think we always have great shows. Today is a special show with Devin Spears, my guest. He's been my guest before. The show, of course, is rebroadcast every Saturday evening at 9 p.m., and you can listen anywhere in the world on the Internet on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. So please just spread the word about this show, available anywhere. Devin, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Well, I'm very, very pleased to have you here. Let me give you a brief introduction here. Devin Spear was born and raised in New York. He lived in Israel for 10 years. He has a degree in Jewish history from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and served in the Israeli Defense Forces. Mr. Spear has spoken to numerous live, radio, and television audiences in defense of Israel. Devin Spear is the author of a blog on the Times of Israel and of the book The Future of Israel, winner of the 2005 Gallup Award. He currently divides his time between Scottsdale, Arizona, and Netanya, Israel. You can view all of his articles, interviews, and debates at www.devinspear.com. That's DEVINSPER.com. Thank you for being here again, Devin. We've got so much to talk about. It's really a tragedy what's going on in Israel right now with Gaza. Prime Minister Netanyahu has said repeatedly that Israel will not stop short of total victory in her current war in Gaza. So the question is, what constitutes victory, and I mean total victory, in this war?
First of all, let's talk about what's not victory in this war. The enemy does not care about human life. They hide in hospitals, as we know. Their headquarters are under schools and hospitals and civilian infrastructure. So they care nothing, not only about, of course, Israeli lives, but about Palestinian lives. And they are keeping food from the people in Gaza because it will create pressure on Israel. So human life is not the issue. And the number of Hamas people who have been killed by Israel, which is about 13,000 so far, they don't care about that. They'll replace that. And property is not of interest to them. So there have been this is the fifth war in Gaza for the last 16 years. So we've averaged about a war every 3 years. And each time they were able to rebuild because money from Qatar and other countries, Iran, flowed in and they rebuilt. So they don't care about the destruction either. What they do care about is territory. When Israel defeated the Arabs in 1948, they called that the Nakba, the disaster, because Israel gained territory and gained a state. In 1967, likewise, Israel gained territory, and that was universally acknowledged as the defeat by her enemies. So the only thing that they are going to see as defeat and that we can call a victory is if Israel will take, not give, territory. Now, from the beginning of the conflict until today, the Palestinians have not agreed to give 1 inch of territory. From all the negotiations we've had going back to the Oslo Accords, they have not compromised on 1 inch. I'll quote the Palestinian charter. Palestine is one indivisible from the river to the sea. It says fixed and non-negotiable. Israel, on the other hand, is continually compromised on her territory in every agreement. And this has been completely ineffective.
Well, you know, you take a sausage and you keep slicing it. Eventually, you don't have a sausage anymore. As most people know, Israel is very small. Internationally, you might realize it's about the size of the U.S. state of New Jersey. Locally here in Arizona, it's about the size of this county. There's 15 counties in Arizona, and this is about the size of Maricopa County, where Phoenix is located. Aside from Hamas, don't countries generally view their national territory as sacrosanct and the control of territory as the key to victory in war? And it does not seem to apply to Israel, because Israel has not been gaining any territory. It's been making concessions.
Yes, exactly. Israel is the only example that I know of in all of human history where the victor is ceding territory to the vanquished, and especially where the victor has been attacked by an aggressor and then is ceding territory to that aggressor after the aggressor is defeated. And from the first separation of forces agreement in Egypt in 1974 until today, Israel has just made one territorial concession after another, even though she's won each of these wars, whereas her enemies have refused to make any territorial compromise on principle.
Okay. Can you give an example of how territorial concessions have hurt Israel? I think we all know the answer to that, but can you spell it out for us?
Yeah, but I'd like to give you a specific example so that will make it very clear. Israel gave back the Gaza and the West Bank, gave it to
Judea and Samaria.
Judea and Samaria to the Palestinian Authority, and the West Bank and Gaza to Hamas, and we all know what the result of that was. But I want to give you another older example. In 1979, under the Separation of Forces Agreement with Egypt, Israel agreed to give the town of Yamit over to Egypt. It had built Yamit as a buffer between Sinai and Egypt.
Israel had built
Israel had built this town with 2,000 residents and plans for 200,000. And it had built it so that never again would Egypt have access to Gaza, and never again could Israel be attacked from Gaza. Now, under this agreement, because the Egyptians didn't agree to compromise on one inch of land, the Israelis gave back every inch of Sinai, including Yamit, and they dismantled the town. Now, had Israel kept Yamit in 1979, Hamas may have been in Gaza, but they could not have imported the weapons that they've all brought in through Egypt, and they would have been powerless to attack Israel and do all the things that they've done. So that example shows you how that territorial concession of just that town of Yamit has caused Israel five wars and countless casualties.
Well, that's an excellent answer to the question. It's a really sad situation for sure. It is well known that Israel ceded the whole of the Sinai Peninsula under the 1979 peace treaty with Egypt and Gaza and most of Judea and Samaria to the Egyptian Authority under the 1994 Oslo agreements. What are other territorial concessions? And I'd like to ask specifically, what type of opposition did Israel have to doing this concession? Because it seems absurd.
You mean internal opposition?
Yeah.
Well, if we go back to the example of Yamit, there were very serious opposition where many supporters of Yamit who were not living there came, and the army forcibly removed them, and they were it was scenes of violence and terrible scenes, and no one was killed, but there was violent opposition because a lot of people in Israel understood that that was a fundamental mistake. And there has been a lot of opposition to these concessions all along. To come back to your earlier question, it's not as well known that Israel made other concessions beyond Sinai, Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. So, for example, Israel made territorial concessions to Jordan in 1970, in 1975, and in 1994 in the Arava Valley. And that's the valley that separates Israel from Jordan. And these concessions total over 375 square kilometers, which is an area larger than Gaza. And not only that, they granted Jordan the right to draw an additional 50 million cubic meters of water from the Sea of Galilee. And Israel has a shortage of water. So There have been many, many concessions, and that's just one example.
What possible reason would they make concessions to Jordan, though?
Well, the slogan was land for peace, right? And so the idea was that you have to give land for them to give you peace.
So they give nothing, basically, and they get land.
Right. And as I said, there's no other historical example of the aggressor being returned to his original borders and certainly not gaining ground after his aggression has been defeated.
Now, under international law, when someone is attacked by another country and the attacking country loses, and doesn't the winner, the one that was attacked, get to keep the land?
I'm not a lawyer. I can't speak to international law, but I can tell you that as a student of history, that is what has happened in every single case going back to the beginning of human history.
And I believe under international law, that's true, that you get to keep the land if you've won it in a defensive war. And not an aggressive war, but in a defensive war.
May well be so. You're a lawyer, so you know better than
that. That's what I'm saying as a lawyer. What about Lebanon? Did Israel recently cede territorial waters to Lebanon?
Yes. So the story is that Israel had for a dozen years been negotiating with Lebanon as to exactly where the water border should go. You know, the territorial waters extend out 12 miles for most countries. And the question is, where is that border between Israel?
Is that because of the discovery of oil and gas?
It's connected. It's connected. I'll explain. So the Lebanese, yes, they wanted to move the border south so that this Qana oil field that had been discovered would be on their side. And Israel wanted it north of the Qana. And they argued over this for 12 years. And what happened is in each negotiation, the Israelis moved closer and closer to the Lebanese position, which is the Hezbollah position, because Hezbollah runs
Lebanon. Yeah, there is no Lebanon, really, isn't it? Hezbollah?
It's Hezbollah runs Lebanon. And ultimately, in 2022, they agreed to the original ultimate maximum Lebanese demand, which is called Line 23.
Why?
They said, deter Hezbollah from launching a war. And that was 2 years ago, and we're now in a war with Hezbollah. So we see how effective that was.
What naivety. Unbelievable.
And meanwhile, we haven't changed that border. So not only did they move the border north of Qana, actually it splits Qana, but they gave them the prospecting rights to Qana, to the Qana oil fund. The thinking was, if they have something to lose, then they will be at peace. And of course, that's also now proven completely false and hollow.
How can they not realize that Hamas and Hezbollah want Jews dead? That is the main purpose for their existence.
I'll tell you why. People always project onto other people their thinking. This is human nature. A thief always thinks someone's stealing from him, for example. The Israelis are basically decent people. They basically want to just live their life. And their constant mistake and assumption is that the enemy is likewise. They are not fanatics, the Israelis, and they can't put themselves in the mindset of these fanatics who, for them, their religious fanaticism and ideology trumps anything about living well or economics or anything like that.
How about a future for their children?
No, because if you would strap bombs to your children to achieve your political ends, then obviously you're not too worried about the future of your children. So martyrdom is they elevate martyrdom to the highest virtue, and the Israelis can't understand because they're so far from that sort of thinking. An Israeli would never strap a bomb to his child for any reason, and then they therefore can't imagine that someone else would do that.
The Nazis wouldn't even do that.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, it takes basically a Islamic person to do that.
Well, in the Iran-Iraq war, the Iranians lined up children and marched them across, their children, right. Marched them across minefields to set off the mines. I don't think the Nazis ever did anything like that.
And I'll remind everybody that Iran and Iraq are both Islamic countries. One says Shia, one Sunni, but they're all Islamic. And the value of human life just doesn't seem to exist in these countries.
Well, so to answer your question, the reason is that Israel is projecting her rational, modern, humanistic thinking onto the enemy and doesn't seem to be able to grasp the nature. Now, I think there's been a change in Israel on October the 7th, and I think people understand they're dealing with something very different than they thought they were. I see that with people I know, friends in Israel, people I talk to, and I see that with the government's attitude. They understood because of the horror of what Hamas did that it's as if you're dealing with the Nazis or worse, and you can't project onto them your thinking.
It's hard to believe they didn't know that before.
But, yes. Well, you and I have been talking about this for
over 20 years on the show.
I've been writing about it for, you know, half a century practically, and no one's listening. But the good news is they are listening now.
Yes, finally. Okay, we're going to go into the first break. We have three total in the show. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. I alternate, as you know, with Mayor Jalovitz. Not every other week. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But we each do about half the shows, and I thank Mayor very much for that. Quite frankly, it'd be impossible for me to continue doing the show without Mayor because it was just too burdensome to do every show every Sunday. If you imagine that over 20 years. In any event, I thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Again, the best way to support the show is by using the services of my advertisers. And you need to tell the advertiser each time you're using their services that you're doing so because they advertise on this program. They need to know that their advertising dollars are being well spent. And often it costs you nothing. Just switch where you're spending money from someone who does not advertise to somebody who does. I know each and every one of the advertisers personally. I know they give great goods and services, so you'll be very happy by using their services. And direct donations are certainly welcome. A check can be sent to me, William J. Wolf, in my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, 85020. I thank you for listening, and I thank you very much for supporting the show, and I thank you for spreading the word about this show. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after the commercials. The authentic Ethiopian restaurant located at 1740 East McDowell in Phoenix is a great change of pace from your ordinary restaurant. Authentic Ethiopian flavors in a comfortable setting will keep you coming back for more. Vegetarian and meat selections will satisfy everyone in your family. You just have to try it for yourself. That's Authentic Ethiopian Restaurant, 1740 East McDowell, telephone 602-252-2286. At Precision Integrative Pain, they have a team of highly qualified licensed providers and staff. Their board-certified physicians and healthcare providers offer same-day appointments when possible and work closely with attorneys and other medical specialists. Dr. Drew Hunter is a highly skilled, double board-certified medical physician who takes his time to offer premium care to his patients. Bilingual services are available. Call 602-688-6884 or visit their website, PIC-AZ.com. Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885. Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate planning, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 20 years. Founding partner Carmen Saccone has over 40 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets.
They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities and advisory services are offered through the LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolfe.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolfe. I'm your host today. As you know, I alternate with Mayor Jolovitz. My guest today in studio is Devin Speer. Devin's been on many times. I really appreciate him coming on. He's really an expert on Israel and all these political issues. Devin, is Israel still considering future territorial concessions, or has the insanity of doing so finally left them?
What I can tell you, I'm not sure. I don't think they are since this war began. But just prior to the war, they were negotiating with Amos Hochstein, who's the same guy, who American envoy, who negotiated the sea deal with Lebanon for land concessions. Oh no, sorry, that was after the war, right? The Americans said, you don't need to attack Hezbollah in Lebanon. We can get them to voluntarily go beyond the Litani River if you give them some land, right? And this land is not land that was ever Lebanese or is in any way justifiable. Now, Hezbollah claims these little bits of land here and there, but their only reason they're claiming that is that Hezbollah claims to be a resistance movement, and they can't claim to be a resistance movement when they're not resisting any occupation. So they claim some little tiny piece of land, and they say they're resisting the Israeli occupation of that area, which has never been Lebanon. And so the Israelis were actually negotiating with Hochstein about these bits of land, and this is despite the fact that they're in the middle of a war with Lebanon. Now, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, but it seems like the Hezbollah so far hasn't gone along with it anyway.
Okay, Devin, if they did give future territorial concessions, would Israel get anything in return? I mean, they don't seem to have ever gotten anything in return for territorial concessions.
Well, and specifically in regard to this concession of little bits of land to Lebanon from the Galilee, Hezbollah would undertake, according to Hochstein, to remove its forces north of the Litani River. Now, first of all, it should be understood that their forces are illegal below the Litani River. There is UN Resolution 1701, in which they were supposed to never go south of the Litani from a previous war. So they're already in violation of that resolution by being there in the first place. In other words, they're selling you the same goods again. And they said, now we'll really go north of the Litani. But as I said, they're not agreeing to it. But even if they did, that's just a few miles. They could come back to the border from the Litani in a couple of hours, and they would. They would either infiltrate back or just come back. And I think that if you gave these territorial concessions to Hezbollah, that is to Lebanon, they would see it as a victory, because territory is the issue with them. And any territory you give them, however small, they're going to see as a victory for them and a defeat for you. And the same would be true in Gaza. If you came back to the October 6th borders in Gaza, they would see that as having fought the Israeli army to a standstill, and that would have been a victory, and they would be encouraged to do it again, as they've said they would do.
Okay, Devin, what do you suggest Israel do in regard to continuing demands for future territorial concessions? I mean, it's just, you know, to me it's insanity. I mean, first of all, Lebanon doesn't really exist anymore, does it? Isn't it Hezbollah?
Yeah, it's a failed state. It's a terrorist-run state, which has been hollowed out by Iran and its proxy Hezbollah. They've taken all the money out of the state. It's completely bankrupt. Only Hezbollah pays salaries to its people, and no one else has anything. The economy has completely collapsed. The banking system has collapsed. It's a true failed state.
It used to be called the Paris of the Orient or something.
Of the Middle East,
Of the Middle East.
Yes.
And it just seems like the world allows things like that to happen and is only critical of Israel whenever Israel's doing something. I mean, does the United Nations do anything regarding Hezbollah taking over Lebanon?
No, not only that. I don't know if you remember, but Lebanon accidentally blew up the entire port of Beirut. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It looked like an atomic bomb. They had stored so much weaponry there that they were importing from Iran, and some of it somehow caught fire. And it blew up the whole port of Beirut and a whole area of Beirut. And we don't know the numbers of are killed, and nobody said anything about that.
Well, I mean, Iran always seems to have its hand in anything that's bad in the world. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe they don't get their hands into Africa or something. But, I mean, think about it. They killed U.S. Marines in Lebanon. They've blown up U.S. embassies. They've supplied a lot of weapons to kill U.S. soldiers in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And they seem to get away with it all the time. I mean, it's just, to me, it's amazing how they can do anything they want to destroy a country, and they just don't have to pay a price.
Well, that's because they understand the way the world really works, and Israel doesn't. They understand that the world works around power, and that if you have power, everyone will justify you, and if you don't, everyone will condemn you. And that's the way they operate, and it works for them.
Well, the United States certainly should have done something, in my opinion, after these terrorist events that Iran clearly performed, as I mentioned, the killing of the U.S. Marines, the blowing up of the American embassies, and they just get away with it all the time.
Well, we in the United States have been kicking the can down the road on Iran, just like Israel was kicking the can down on the road on Hamas. And just like today, Israel is paying a very heavy price for kicking the can down the road and not dealing with Hamas in the previous four wars that we've had with them. The United States will unfortunately pay a heavier price the more it puts off the inevitable confrontation with Iran, because they want to confront us. They are not holding any punches. They will do everything they can to harm us. So if we wait till after they get a nuclear weapon, for example, that's going to be much more complicated. And the stronger we allow them to become, the worse that's going to be for us.
You really think they don't already have an atomic weapon?
No, because they would have used it yesterday if they had
it. I think they have it, but they just don't have the delivery system yet. And I think that's what they're waiting for.
I think if they had it, they'd use it. They'd put it on a donkey cart and bring it into Israel. They don't need any fancy delivery system.
Well, then it's going to happen at some time in the future, in the not-too-distant future, from what you're saying.
Yes, unless someone does something about it, it will happen. They're dead set on it, and it will happen, yes.
So Israel is the main target, or maybe they're not. Maybe the United States is the main target, being the big Satan, the great Satan, and Israel is just the little Satan.
I would put it this way. America is the ultimate target. In other words, Israel's in the way because it's a local ally of the United States, but it's the United States that they want out of the Middle East. Their goal is to get the United States out of the Middle East.
And they're working toward it, aren't they?
Yes. Yes.
And is the United States resisting, or do you think it's going to be successful on Iran's part?
Certainly not resisting under the Biden administration, and it's not even clear whether Trump will resist it, because he has a sort of isolationist foreign policy today. So we don't know what will be.
Okay, Devin, we are coming up on the second break of today's show. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I thank you for listening. I thank you for helping me bring the show to you by using the services of my advertisers. As you know, this is a brokered show, which means I have to pay for the time each and every week. And the only way I'm able to do that is because I have these wonderful listeners and wonderful advertisers, and that's what supports the show. I also appreciate your direct donations. They can be sent to me, William Wolf, at my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix 85020. We are in the 21st year broadcast, the longest-running brokerage show in the history of the state of Arizona, and I thank you for helping me bring the show to the air. I know you think it's important, otherwise you wouldn't be listening. So please stay with us. We'll be right back with Devin Speer and his commentary, and then we'll get to Yoni, hopefully at the end of the just before the end of the hour. This is your host at Middle East Radio Forum, William Wolf. You need to know about Lucky Rentals and Peachtree Partners, Arizona. If you need to buy a used car and need financing, call them at 800-832-2557. That's Lucky Rentals and Peachtree Partners, Arizona. If you need to buy a used car and need financing, call them at 800-832-2557. That's 800-832-2557.
Tokyo Express, next to Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, has been serving great food since 1982. A fast food Japanese restaurant at a reasonable price. Take out or sit in and enjoy. Either way, you'll be back for more. That's Tokyo Express on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback in Phoenix. Telephone 602-277-4666. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate planning, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 20 years. Founding partner Carmen Saccone has over 40 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities and advisory services are offered through the LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini-mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out on the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to this very, very important Middle East radio show. We have a terrible situation in Israel. It's been ongoing since October 7th. I would argue it's been kind of bad before that, too, because of things that Israel has not done that I think they should have done. But, of course, I have no control over the Israeli government. My guest in studio is Devin Speer, who's really an expert in Israel and history. Devin, what do you suggest Israel do with regard to continuing demands for further territorial concessions? As I mentioned before, you have a salami, you keep slicing pieces off. Eventually, there's no more salami.
Look, Israel's a very tiny country, and it's, I think, long past time she stopped giving away the little land and the few resources that she has. Only a loss of territory and not more territorial concessions by Israel is going to convince her enemies that their aggression against her doesn't pay. This is the only way to ensure that the unbelievable sacrifices that the Israeli people are making right now and the Israeli soldiers are making right now will not have been in vain, and that neither they nor their children will find themselves fighting again to retake the same territory from which they've been attacked so many times. We've been attacked now 5 times from Gaza, and we're fighting over the same territory. We've been attacked 3 times from Lebanon. I'm only referring to recent times, not 1948, 1967. I'm only talking in recent times. And each time we go back to square one. So we need to change the paradigm, and we need to move the border so that they know that they pay a price for their aggression. If Israel is going to have a decisive victory, like Prime Minister Netanyahu says we are, and if you want lasting peace, then Israel has to change its approach and stop giving away territory.
Okay. Secretary of State Blinken has repeatedly said that Israel must not permanently annex territory from Gaza. That to me seems insanity, but will Israel comply? Why or why not?
No, they will not. Because they've learned their lesson. I believe that the situation after October 7th is never going to go back to the situation prior to October 6th. Israel, as you said, is paying the price for mistakes going back many years. The good news is they understand now their mistakes, finally, belatedly, at long last. Now, one step in the right direction that shows the correct way is that Israel is now creating a buffer zone within Gaza. And this is, by the way, what Blinken was referring to in not taking territory with Gaza. They're creating a buffer of a kilometer or two on all of Gaza's borders with Israel and with Egypt. And what that will allow is for the 250,000 displaced people from the area around Gaza and from the north around Lebanon to go back to their homes, because they can't possibly go back to their homes, which are wrecked and ruined from October 7th, when you have Hamas across the border threatening to do the same thing over and over again. No one's going to invest and go to live there and allow their children to walk the streets and go to school there when that's hanging over their head. So they need the buffer for that reason. But there's an also equally important reason they need that buffer, and that is to make Gaza and Hamas pay a price for their aggression. And then they will understand that they've been defeated. In every one of the past 4 wars with Gaza, we've beaten them, we've destroyed a lot, we've killed a lot of them, and they come out with their hands in a V for victory sign out of the rubble and say we won. If you take territory from them, that's not going to be the picture you see. Contrary to what Secretary of State Blinken is saying, Israel must take territory from Gaza, not cede territory, and it's imperative that she does that. And I would say that you could apply a similar policy to Lebanon. In other words, you can push Hezbollah back to the Litani River, and that's what they plan to do. Israel wants to fight this war one front at a time, but they do plan to and openly say that they're going, when they're done with Gaza, they're going into Lebanon, and they're going to push Hezbollah back, because the same thing, no one will live along the border if you don't do that. And I would say you can apply the same thing to Judea and Samaria. There is, for example, Jenin, where terrorists come across every day. There's been attacks every day for the last 2 years, and you could go back 50 years. And there's no reason for us to go in and out of Jenin and kill some of them, and they come back and kill some of us. You drop leaflets on Jenin like we did on Gaza City. You tell the civilians to leave. You go in and destroy the terrorists. You annex Jenin to Israel. You've now lost Jenin because you've used it as a springboard to attack Israel. And if they come from another town, you lose that town. And eventually, that can create deterrence. Nothing short of that will create deterrence.
Okay, Deva, we are coming up on the last break of today's show before the final segment. When we come back, I'm going to ask you, why does Israel supply water, food, fuel, et cetera, concrete to the enemies, knowing that they're going to create terrorist tunnels and so on, have the light to do so by the electricity supplied by Israel and so on? It drives me crazy to know that Israel is complicit in this terrorism. So please get into that when I get back from the break. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today, and I thank you for listening. I thank you for spreading the word about this show. And again, I know I say this all the time, and the reason is because I have to say it, because this is a brokered show, and I need to be able to pay for it. And I need to have my advertisers being happy, which means that they're getting results from their advertising on this show. So please use the services of the advertisers and be sure to tell them you're doing so because they advertise on this program. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Devin Spear for the final and longest segment of today's show. If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I'm William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture is your go-to medical office in the West Valley. Call 623-214-7600. That's 623-214-7600. With two offices to serve you, there is no reason to stay in pain when Dr. Shuttleman may be able to help you. Call 623-214-7600 for Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini-mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You are listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free, 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@aol.com. That's radioforum@aol.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to the final segment of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest in studio is Devin Spear. Before I get to the question I asked before the last break, let's take a call from Jock in Scottsdale. Jock, you're on the air.
Yeah, quick question. Can Netanyahu hold off on a ceasefire until the election in November? And if Trump wins, will that strengthen Israel's position in fighting?
Okay, that's a good question. Both of your questions, Jacques, are good questions. So first of all, he could not hold off a ceasefire until November if a ceasefire was offered that was palatable to Israel. So far, Hamas is not agreeing to anything reasonable. Netanyahu's called their demands delusional, so we don't have to worry about it. But because of the hostages and internal pressure on Israel to free the hostages, he could not reject a ceasefire if reasonable terms were demanded in exchange for hostages. I don't mean a permanent ceasefire. I mean a temporary ceasefire. They already did do one ceasefire. They got 100 hostages back. And if they had a chance to get more, they would do it. I'm not saying I agree with that or not. I'm saying that's what would happen. As for Trump, I was a big supporter of Trump, but he has said things since the his loss in the previous election that indicate he's going to take a very isolationist foreign policy this time. He has not – he generally says things that he's done things for Israel, but he never talks about what he would do in the future. I haven't seen one statement from him on the Gaza war. And that would be an excellent opportunity for him to criticize Biden on that issue. And he never says it. So I honestly don't know what Trump might do. It's a crapshoot. We don't know.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Jack. And please get in your questions now. We've only got about 10 minutes to go, and I don't want anybody to get shut out. Devin, let's go back to that question I asked before the last break. Why does Israel supply food, electric, water, concrete, materials certainly for the terror tunnels to the sworn enemies of Israel that would like to destroy Israel if they could?
Well, first of all, let me say that I don't know of any country in the history of war, in the history of the world, which has ever supplied food, concrete, electricity, oil to its enemy during a time of war, except for Israel. I don't think we supply the Japanese with food and oil, and I don't think, in fact, our tactic was to cut them off from oil. We certainly didn't supply the Germans with food and oil. I'm talking about until they surrender. But when they're at war with you, we would not supply them with anything. During World War One, our policy was to starve the Germans into submission. And that's generally, I've never seen anything like it. So first of all, the hypocrisy of the world in demanding that Israel supply her enemy with whom she's at war, who viciously attacked her on October 7th, and supply her with what she needs to carry out the war makes no sense to me at all.
It's called insanity, Devin, insanity.
It makes no sense. But why are they doing it? Because they're under pressure from the Biden administration to do it. And the Israelis believe, again, I won't say rightly or wrongly, but the Israeli government believes that it's in their interest, because if we see scenes of people in Gaza starving, suffering, that helps Hamas, and they therefore think that it's in their interest to supply this kind of humanitarian assistance. Now, why supply oil, which they need to run the tunnels? In other words, without oil, they would have to come out of the tunnels. The war would have been over a long time ago. Many Israeli soldiers are dying because they're still fighting in the tunnels. This makes no sense to me at all. I can't understand it. There are, in fact, protests on the Israeli border with Gaza at Keren Shalom, the crossing that goes from Israel to Gaza.
Who's protesting?
Israelis who are protesting, some of them families of the hostages, and they're stopping the trucks of aid from getting in at least through that opening. They can get in through Egypt. But these people are saying just what you're saying. We don't want to be supplying the enemy with these goods as long as they hold hostages. I would say at a minimum, Israel should be demanding their hostages in exchange for these things. You're holding your hostages and you're supplying them. This makes no sense to me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Another caller, Richard from Scottsdale. Go ahead, Richard. Richard, what's your question?
Okay, my question is, a lot of people have been killed in Gaza. How does Israel deal with that situation?
What do you mean, which people are you talking about?
Palestinians. You know, Israel is in Gaza, and they've killed lots of people, either purposely or not purposely, but a lot of Gaza people have been killed. How do the Israelis deal with the fact that that so many of these people to the south have been killed, have been murdered, or whatever?
Well, it's certainly not murdered, but go ahead, Devin.
Thank you for your question, Richard. Ask yourself, Richard, when we fought World War II and we blanket bombed Germany and killed 5 million Germans, were they all German Nazis or were some of them civilians? When we dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and we killed 2 million Japanese. We killed 100,000 Japanese in one night in the Tokyo firebombing, and which is four times the number that's been killed in Gaza till now. And we killed six times the number that's been killed in Gaza in one night in bombing Hiroshima. And this is, and I could go on in Afghanistan and Iraq, and all the other wars the United States fought. And it's not only the United States; it's other countries. Now, unlike Israel, which tries not to kill civilians, but has but they get killed because Hamas is hiding behind civilians. We know that they put all their infrastructure under civilian infrastructure, especially hospitals, especially schools. Unlike Israel, which tries to avoid killing civilians, the United States blanket bombed German cities with the policy was to kill civilians, to dehouse German workers so we would shorten the war. That was the policy of dropping atomic bombs on Hiroshima. And that's been not only the United States' policy, but the policy of every country in the world and every war. So it's sheer anti-Semitic double standard to say that Israel is supposed to fight a war in which there are no civilian casualties on the other side, a war that she did not seek and did not start. And Israel will fight a war in the same way that everyone else will fight the war. And in fact, she's being much more humane than we are in the United States in our wars. So I can't understand this hypocritical criticism where we have killed millions of civilians, and Israel is condemned when civilians are killed in collateral damage, which she tries to avoid.
Okay, thanks for that question, Richard. Devin, apparently there's more than a million people still in Gaza. What is Israel supposed to do with the million people, and is it Israel's responsibility in the first place?
There's over 2 million people in Gaza. According to the Geneva Conventions, a country is not responsible for the welfare of a civilian population as long as they are at war with you. You become responsible for them only when they surrender. So when Japan surrendered to the United States, we became responsible for the welfare of the Japanese people, but not before that. Israel is not responsible for the people of Gaza as long as they are at war with Israel. And make no mistake, this nonsense about the innocent people of Gaza, they are Hamas and Hamas is them. They elected Hamas. Hamas is their brothers, their uncles, and their sons. They support Hamas. When the Hamas fighters came in on October 6th and started massacring people, they called everyone from the mosques to follow them. Thousands of Gazan innocent people of Gaza came across the border and participated in the rape, murder, looting that was going on in Israel for 3 days. So we're not buying the innocent people of Gaza argument. They're no more innocent than the Germans were innocent in World War II. They elected the Nazis, and the people of Gaza elected Hamas.
Okay, thanks for that question. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan, you're on the air. I'm sorry. I guess I'm misreading it. Yoni, is that you?
It is me.
Oh, Yoni, I don't know why display said Jonathan. Anyway, go ahead, please. Sorry I didn't get to you earlier in the show.
Hey, no worries. And I agree with that. There are no innocent people in Gaza, nor Judea and Samaria, but that's life. This week brought peace to the Middle East, a cure to all illness, and an end to people dying of all causes. Well, maybe not, but it did bring about the start of the 2024 season of Formula One racing, and I'm a fanatic. I was unable to watch the race live due to the Jewish Sabbath. No worries, it was being rebroadcast after the Sabbath. I watched the race, and then with around 10 minutes to go, ESPN stopped showing me the race and cut to some program about basketball. This left me wondering what the future would be. In this case, the future was just 10 minutes of a race. I was frustrated, and I had a sense of betrayal by ESPN, which is kind of like my feelings on the war in Israel. Israel has started letting the USA, France, the United Arab Emirates, and Jordan to do airdrops of aid to Amalek in Gaza. Why should Israel allow other countries' militaries to fly over our sovereign territory and drop anything into Gaza unless it's bombs? The bundles from Jordan and Qatar could contain weapons and money. Let's get real. This is criminally stupid to allow it. Besides, remember, they still have our people captive. Let the people of Gaza eat sand and drink seawater until we get our people back. Besides, 90% of them still support Hamas. Don't be a sucker for the so-called demonstrations against Hamas. These demonstrations were organized by Hamas. Sinwar this week told Hamas leadership that casualties in Gaza were great for Hamas as the world is putting pressure on Israel. Sinwar further told the leadership in Qatar that he plans on emerging from the tunnels after the world forces the Quislings in the Knesset to a ceasefire and declaring victory. And just so you don't think it's only Hamas, a Fatah official, Yasser Abi Sido, appeared on Egyptian TV this week and or this month, and he claimed that the Holocaust was a necessary action because the Jews plan to control Germany. He said, I would like to ask, why did the Holocaust happen? I'm not a fan of Hitler, he affirmed. But when Hitler perpetrated the Holocaust, he had obvious reasons. The Jews and the Zionists were offered various places in the world, in Argentina, in Uganda, and the north of Sinai, in the south of Iraq. But they chose Palestine for other reasons we may mention later. They planned to take over Germany. They started to bring down Germany in terms of the economy and moral values. Hitler reacted by making the Jews go to the streets and lick, yes, I said lick, the sidewalks. This is very well known. Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass, is well known in Jewish history, but so is the Night of Long Knives, when the Jews were ordered to put Stars of David on their breast, and they were called filthy Jews. But let me take a side. This guy's a moron. He doesn't know history. Let me continue with him, though. He says, let me make this loud and clear. The Jews distort many verses in the Torah in order to make it more agreeable for them. I don't want to I don't want to cite examples because some might consider me an anti-Semite, although it's us Arabs who are Semites, not them. Let's be clear. We have a Palestinian problem, an Amalek problem, not a Hamas problem. Against this background, we have intelligence that we know that Hamas and Iran are calling for 10-7 2.0 during Ramadan. Despite the calls from the USA, the EU, the future of Israel, let's be honest, we really aren't secure. The war to rape, torture, and murder every Jew from the river to the sea is far from over. We have a former prime minister, a buddy of Epstein. Yes, that Epstein, who is now pointing out that Bibi turned down 6 times plans to eliminate top leadership of Hamas. My question to this pervert is, when you were the prime minister, how many Hamas leadership did you wipe out? Or did you just offer Arafat 97% of what he wanted, you child molester? We know that Brandon warned Israel not to stop Hamas from stealing aid. Really? Regarding Biden, the U.S. has an election coming up. The issues are the economy, border security, support of Israel, and the fact they want to take our guns away from us. These are the positions of the Biden administration. Also, the Department of Justice is taking action against Finkelstein Metal Works in the north of Israel, an Israeli firm that makes critical parts for Iron Dome. Brandon and his people want Israel to run out of Iron Dome rockets so we'll be weak and give in on their plan to create a Hamas-run state in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. By the way, for those that don't know, a gun control case is coming in front of the Supreme Court. Matter of fact, it's there now. It's clear from the Department of Justice lawyers' argument. They are trying to set a precedent so they can ban all semi-automatic weapons in the future if they get reelected. If you have to hold your nose in order to vote for Trump, then do so. I'm telling you that a second Brandon administration will bring the U.S. to 1861 or Germany 1936-37. Just to put a pin in how stupid Israel can be, a terrorist rammed a car into 4 Israeli soldiers and was shot in the head to end his attack. He survived, was sent to prison for 20 years. Israel will now pay for cosmetic surgery to make his head appear more normal, since an IDF bullet gave him a distorted shape to his head. If we killed him for his terrorism, he wouldn't worry about what his head looks like today.
Yoni, thank you very much. I look forward to you being on the show again next week. We have 1 minute to go. I was going to ask Devin why there is so much anti-Israel activity in the U.S. government and on U.S. campuses, but I can give you 30 seconds, Devin. Go ahead.
All right, very quickly, President Biden is not anti-Israel. He's from the old school Democrats who actually are sympathetic to Israel emotionally. But he's surrounded by former Obama administration people like Malley and Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes, who are extremely anti-Israel, and they are trying to pursue the same policies they pursued under the Obama administration. On the campuses, many of these people are not American citizens. They are foreign students, local Muslims, and I don't think they represent average Americans.
Devin Spear, thank you very much. Great presentation. I look forward to being on the show again. Thanks for listening.
You,
have a great week.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.